This morning we began our look at what the Bible says about heaven and about hell, and we've really not touched upon what the Bible says about heaven and hell just yet, and might be sometime before we do. We're laying the biblical foundation so we can have an understanding from the Word of God that the Lord intends for us to live forever. And we will live forever somewhere. And we are establishing from the Word of God the fact that there is more to life than this life. And we saw from the Scripture this morning that if all we have is this life, that it's really a miserable existence. And if all you have, all that's important to you, you'll leave behind when you die, you don't have much of a life. You don't have much hope. And that was our theme this morning. We saw from the Bible that God is a Trinity. When God made man in His image, He therefore made man a Trinity, a spirit and a soul and a body. And we established this morning that you live inside that body that people see when they look in your direction. You're not looking upon me tonight, you're looking upon my dwelling place. I'm living inside this body and inside this dwelling place. And it's an amazing thing, all the time and money and effort that people put into the dwelling place and how little attention they give to the one dwelling on the inside. And that's where we are in our world today. Now, tonight, I hope this won't be too tedious for you. It's not for me. I like all the Bible. I just like the Bible. I like to read the Bible, study the Bible, learn the Bible. But tonight we're going to take a look at this idea of man being a Trinity and just establish from the Scripture that, with the Bible, that the soul and the body are not the same. We have Bible for that. The spirit and the body are not the same. We have Bible for that. And the soul and the spirit are not the same. We have Bible for that. And you really are a very, well, the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's really a marvelous thing how you and I are here tonight as a triune being, and all three aspects of that being are essential for life in this world, on this planet, and God has ordained it so. So let's pray together, and then we'll begin to read from the Bible. Father, bless your word to our hearts tonight. Lord, thank you for visits this afternoon. Thank you for prayer meetings this afternoon. Thank you for songs of praise this afternoon. Thank you, God, for meeting with us this morning and encouraging our hearts with the reality and the fact of life beyond the grave or beyond the rapture, whatever the case might be. And Lord, we ask and pray that you'd help us tonight to understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. By the way, David, just thank you for setting that up so well. You couldn't have done better if we'd scripted that. 1 Kings 17, the soul and the body are not the same. The Bible says in 1 Kings 17, verse number 17, great Bible story here. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And you young fellows that are and men that are studying for the ministry, just make a note by 1 Kings 17, verse 18, the job of the preacher is to be blamed. This woman's son dies, and what are you going to do? Well, you blame the preacher. What'd you do this to me for? So Elijah responds in verse 19. He said to her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. He cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And so then the preacher goes in and prays and blames God. Just kind of pass the thing down the line. Verse 21, and he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let the child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." Now, did you notice in the passage that Trinity that we talked about this morning? His breath departed from him. His soul is absent from his body. And his body is laying there upon the bed. He's referred to the body laying upon the bed. Elijah says, "Give me the child, give me your son." But it's very clear that the soul and the body are not the same. The body's present, but the soul has left that body. And as Elijah stretches himself and prays upon the boy has a revival, which is a term that we use often, but in almost every case improperly in our churches. We say, "We're going to have a revival meeting tonight," meaning we're going to get our souls back. Well, that's not what we mean, but in the Bible term, this is a revival. He was vivacious. He had life. And his life slipped away out of his body, and now he's being revived. He's having a revival. His life is coming back into his body. Plainly, the soul and the body are not the same. Okay? Look in Genesis 35. Genesis chapter 35 and verse number 16. Genesis 35 and verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. It came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing. What does that mean? For she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. So, what do we have? We have a body that no longer has life within it, and that body is laid in a grave, that body is buried, the soul departs from the body, and notice the departure of the soul from the body is defined in Scripture as death. That's what death is. When your soul exits your body, you have died, and yet, you have to understand, and yet the soul is very much alive, even though a death has taken place. Look in your Bible in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. People say, "Well, I just think you die like a dog and that's the end of you." If you didn't have a living soul, that'd be the end of you. But you have a soul that is separate and distinct from your body, though it resides in, though it takes up residence within your body. Matthew chapter 10. And verse number 28. Matthew 10:28. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, this is the first time hell has shown up in our study. But it's plain that from the verse, number one, your body and your soul are not the same. Okay, that's clear. Number two, it is possible for me to kill your body without doing any harm to your soul. And the Lord warned me or encouraged me to not be afraid of those that could only kill my body, but had no power to harm or to kill my soul. And then following that, he warned me, if I were an unbeliever, and thank God I'm not, there was a time when I could read this verse as an unbeliever, but he warned me about his ability to place my body and my soul in hell. Now, I want you to get those wheels turning over the next few weeks before we come back and revisit this passage, but there is a statement by Jesus that not just your soul, but your body is in danger of hell and of suffering therein. And we'll get to that in the future. But for the time being, just understand from the Bible, the body and the soul are not the same. Now, how about the spirit and the body? Well, to start with, Luke 23 and Acts chapter 7. Luke chapter 23 and Acts chapter 7. My spirit and my body are not the same. Once we establish that, we'll take a look at what the spirit is, what the spirit is not, the purpose of the spirit within you. All right, Luke 23, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, look down at verse number 52. We're speaking of Joseph the counselor. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. Acts chapter number 2. Acts 2. We'll get to 7 in just a minute. Acts chapter number 2. And verse 27. Or 25. For David speaketh concerning him. Who's he speaking of? Verse 22, Jesus of Nazareth. David is speaking, writing, prophesying concerning Jesus of Nazareth. And here's what he said in verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now, take a look. I have the man, Christ Jesus, hanging upon the cross. At the end of that day, his spirit has returned to God the Father. His body is laying in a grave, and his soul is making its way through hell to a meeting with the thief who died next to him in paradise before that day is over. Who died upon that cross? The man Christ Jesus. It is clear from the account of his crucifixion that he has a spirit that is commended into the hands and keeping of the Father. He has a body that is commended and laid in the grave. And he has a soul that has entered the lower parts of the earth to accomplish purposes that we'll look at in a future lesson. It's obvious that you are more than just a body. And it's obvious that you are more than a llama or a possum or a cat or some other beast of the field that has no living soul. Look in your Bible in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. There's something inside you. There's something inside every lost man, every lost woman out there in that world that yearns for and longs for something beyond this life in this body. That's why all of these false religions, at least it makes sense to have a religion even if it's false. But what could be more perverse than atheism? What could be more perverse than evolution and communism and these theories that say that's all you are is flesh and molecules and tissue, and one day you're going to die and that's the end of it? That's perverse. Something inside the depths of you cries out against that. The Bible says in Acts 7, and verse number 58, this account of Stephen's death, says, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So the man is speaking, his body is dying, and he's asking God to receive the departure, his spirit as it departs from his body. Obviously, they're not the same. All right, 1 Corinthians 2 and Job 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and Job chapter 33. First Corinthians 2, Job chapter 33. We had prayer this afternoon. And in the prayer meeting, we had some men ask for prayer for victory over some sin or some habit in their life. And this afternoon I had some visits and did a little bit of, had some fellowship and things with people struggling different things in their life and wanting prayer about them. Now look, if you're just going to live 65 years and then die, why fight it? I mean, if all you are is a giraffe or a raccoon, and you're just going to go in a hole in the ground anyway, what difference does it make? Well, I want to make the world a better place to live. What do you care? You're leaving. Well, I just want to leave something behind for... Why? Why do you even care about something being right or something being good or something being just or something being clean or something being better? Because there's a remnant of God in your soul. There's nothing walking on 4 feet. There's nothing crawling on its belly. There's nothing swinging by its tail. There's nothing swimming through the sea that cares at all about how it lives or what you think about it. Why do you care? There's something inside you. You are a living soul with a trace and remnant, John chapter 1, of the light of God inside you. You're a living soul with a trace and a remembrance of your Creator, according to Romans chapter number 1. If not, you wouldn't care. I've never seen a dog stop and look in a mirror and make sure its fur was laying right. I've never seen a cat, the big cat, dash for the food and push the little cat away and then step back and say, you know, that probably was rude. They don't care. You know why they don't care? There's nothing in them pertaining to eternity. There's something inside you that knows there is a God. There's something inside you that knows that God wants you to do right. You may be confused about who He is. You may be confused about what right is. But when these two fellas running for president talk about their faith and their God and how their God influences their choices, they're not lying. They might not know who He is, they might not know what He requires, but they know somewhere out there is some power or being or force or entity greater than them that compels them to want to do something right. Even if you don't think it's right. Even if you don't agree with their definition of right. That's not going on in the animal world. That's not going on in the plant world. There's not one rose in your garden looking over the next bush and thinking, I'm better looking than she is. We're very unique. We're very special, made in that image of God with the distant memory of our Creator stamped upon our souls. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 2. Spirit and the body are not the same. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now, here's what we have. That spirit part of you, not your soul, not your body, that spirit part of you, that enables you to understand and communicate with other men. The Bible speaks in Ecclesiastes about the spirit of a beast. When that big dog curls back that top lip and shows those teeth, that little dog knows exactly what's going on. Right? They have a spirit that enables them to communicate. I don't understand. I'll tell you what's amazing to me is those ants. Y'all got fire ants on your property? 3 days before a big rain is coming, those ants come up out of the ground and start building mounds. And it's not just one or two, it's like they all got the word. Don't they get little tiny ant TVs and little ant meteorologists, but somehow they know, they communicate, they pass that information on. You throw a cracker up in the air at the beach and watch 500 seagulls show up just from all over the place. You'd think Alfred Hitchcock was there or something. It's strange. Strange, but here they'll come. So the creatures have this spirit. Now, your spirit enables you to communicate with other human beings. It doesn't matter where you travel. You smile and people get it. People get it. You frown, people get it. Why? There's a spirit there. We communicate. We read one another's countenance, and we read one another's mood, and we sense certain things by gestures, a raised eyebrow or a wink, or all of these types of things enable us to communicate. And you go to the zoo and you can stand there all day and wink at that baboon, give him the thumbs up, and he doesn't have any idea what you're talking about. We'll let the other baboon come by and do whatever baboons do, and he'll get the message. Okay, so God has put a spirit within us to enable us to understand one another. Now, look in the passage at what God said about why you try so hard to get your lost loved ones to see the gospel. And they can look at verses that are so simple and have no idea what you're talking about. You know why? The same reason Fluffy doesn't understand what you're saying. You don't have the same spirit. Without the Spirit of the living God coming to take up residence within you, you could not understand God's communication. No matter how clear He made it, you couldn't get it. Isn't the gospel so simple? Well, it wasn't so simple all those years somebody was trying to give it to you and you couldn't get it. All those times you heard it and didn't make any sense to you, and then it's like one, whoa! All of a sudden you understood the Bible. What is it? That's the Spirit of God. He has to give you His Spirit so He can communicate with you. Well, God's given man a spirit so man communicate one with another. Look at Job 33. Job 33. Job understood this matter of creation. Get with Job 33, get Genesis 2. We're there this morning. Let's go back there tonight. Genesis 2 and Job 33. Genesis 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. There's the shaping of the body. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So you've got a body there. But the body without that soul and the body without that breath of God has no life in it. Job 33:4 says this, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Now, why is that important? Because you cannot believe the Bible and be what they call a theistic evolutionist. That is, I believe somewhere there was a God who made the first man and breathed life into him, but since that time we're all just the product of human reproduction. Job said, I got the same thing Adam got. He's not making reference to Adam in Job 33:4. He's making reference to himself. He said, I live by the breath of the Almighty. The Apostle Paul quoted a heathen poet in Acts 17 and said, well, let's go there. Acts 17. I believe that's the right chapter. Watch what he says. Acts 17 and verse number 27. Now we can't start there. Verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth all life and breath and all things. Now you see that? Saved, unsaved, black, white, red, yellow, brown, Jew, Gentile, everybody breathing, God gave them breath. Everybody living, God gave them life. We are not all God's children, but we are all God's creatures. That would be the accurate statement. We're all children of God. Not so. We're all creatures of God, so. That much. If you're alive, God gave you life. If you're breathing, God gave you breath. He goes on to say in verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and that determine the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they, who? That's all the people on the face of the earth, should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Now, you know what He just said? You're blind. God's right there beside you, and you're groping for Him, trying to locate Him with your hands. That's a picture of a blind man trying to find something right there beside him. That's man without the light of the Word of God. I'm seeking the Lord. Well, you're going to keep seeking. If He doesn't make Himself known to you, you're not going to find Him. Even though He's right there, not far from anybody. Verse 28. Now look, for in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Now, I'm not going to push that, try to force the Trinity there into verse 28, but it might fit. We live, we move, we have our being, but by who? By God. Right? You see that? Now, look who He's talking to. In verse number 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceived in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you. Now, look what he said. You don't know who God is. You worship in ignorance. You're superstitious. But God gave you life. God gave you breath. So what happens? That devil comes in, man. Listen, he's going to give you just enough truth to let you think what you heard came from God. Are you God's? Do you belong to God? Well, He gave me life. He gave me breath. I wouldn't be here without Him. He sure has been good to me. somehow or another I'm connected to Him or part of Him because I'm breathing the air that He put in my nostrils. I feel Him down deep in my soul. All that's true. Jesus said, okay, you've been born. And God did that. But you must be born again. And here's where that thing, that's why you have to have a Bible. Because when Adam died, and when death passed upon all men, for all have sinned, you've got to understand I'm walking around in a living body with a living spirit and a soul that is reckoned dead in the eyes of God. So if you get into one of these religions that's all about the body, okay, what are you going to get? You're going to get a little peace, get a little calm, get a little exercise, put your leg back behind your head, you get all that stuff going for you. You feel pretty good. Somewhere out there, there's a God, and He made you, and you're not denying Him. And you're so close. Just that one day that body is going to die and one day that spirit's going to go back to God and all you get left is that soul that your religion didn't do anything for. So Jesus said, man, don't be deceived. You're a three-part being. And that religion you got is all about your spirit. And all that stuff pertaining to this world, it's all about your body. What about your soul? What about your soul? Bible warns you in the book of Jude about religion that is sensual. Just deals with the spirit, doesn't deal with the soul. Plenty of that going on. Soul, you've got to be born again. All right, now, not only is the spirit and the body not the same, the spirit is not mere breath. That's a mistaken idea. I'm not breathing in and out spirit. Holy Spirit, your spirit, my spirit. The spirit is not breath. Take a look at Job 34. Job 34. And verse 14. If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. Now let's not try to divide what can't be divided. But let's understand the distinction. Listen, if your all your breath goes out of you and you don't take another breath, you're going to die. When you die, your spirit is going to depart from your body, as we saw this morning, but that doesn't mean they're the same. The Lord said, your breath and your spirit. Two separate matters there. Isaiah 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Your breath can send messages, but it's not the same as the Spirit in that we don't necessarily communicate or understand one another by basis of our breath, but by the Spirit. All right, Isaiah 42:5. Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. So you have breath and you have spirit and they're not the same. God made a man a spirit and a soul and a body, and that man breathes. but his breath is not the man. Else part of you would be leaving every time you exhaled. And then part of somebody else would be coming in. That'd be a scary thing. Lillian and I knew some people one time, and their mom and dad taught them whenever they drove by a cemetery to hold their nose shut and close their mouth so they didn't breathe in anybody's bad spirits that might be hovering around the graveyard. It'd be a scary way to live. How are you today? Walk around wearing a mask. One glove with sequins on it. don't want to breathe in it, part anybody, you know. So God gave you breath. God also gave you a spirit. That spirit is part of you. That breath isn't. Okay? They're not the same. Zechariah 12. Zechariah chapter 12. And verse number 1. Zechariah 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Now, in our mythology, if you want to call it that, in our the traditions and memories of our culture, we define a ghost as a disembodied spirit. Okay, a spirit, that may just be, you know, a shape moving around, like a sheet moving by, or it may be you just felt some wind on your face, and ooh, that's a spirit. And I have a lot of spooky thoughts, but some people, I mean, they're way out there, man. If I feel a cool breeze on my face, I figure it's a cool breeze on my face. I don't think a devil snuck in my bedroom or an angel just walked by in his robe, brushed it. Now, if you can handle all that, you help yourself. To me, it just, you know, it's just the wind blew through. But this idea of a ghost is, I saw this form of a man. Eyes, nose, ears, mouth, chin, hair, body. It wasn't a spirit. I saw a ghost. That is, I saw the likeness of a man, but it wasn't wrapped up in a body. That, you know, biblically, that's real close. Because the Bible says in Zechariah that God formed a body, right? And then he formed a spirit within that body. For it has form to it. It has shape to it. And I don't understand all that. But that's what it says. Well, I think Dan, years ago, Dan and I were talking about some of this stuff. And he said, think about a tire. You have the outer rubber portion of the tire. And then you have the tube that is inside that outer rubber form of the tire. What's that called? The tire? Then you have the inner tube. And then you fill the inner tube with air. And that air and that inner tube conforms itself to the shape of that tire. And that tire is a triune thing. If all you got's the outer rubber, you're not going anywhere. If all you got is inner tube, you're not going anywhere. If all you got is air, you're not going anywhere. But if you put the tube inside the tire and fill it with air, now you can get somewhere. And that outer tire is like unto your body. And then that soul is inside that body, and it's, I tell you, it's a remarkable thing. And we'll talk about it as we make our way on through the study. I've known men that had their legs cut off and that leg still hurts and those toes still itch. That's curious business, isn't it? You say, well, it's just all in his mind. Don't be sure of that. That soul has a form to it. And then that spirit inside that soul and inside that body. And God says in Zechariah 12:1 that he formed the spirit inside man. So, you know, I don't want to say more than the Bible says, but that's what it says and that's what it looks like. So, the spirit's inside, the spirit's not the body. The soul is not the body. Spirit and breath are not the same. And now, let's take a look at this idea. The soul and the spirit are not the same. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57 and Hebrews chapter 4. Isaiah 57 and Hebrews chapter 4. I could tell you some wild stories. I'm sure the people here tonight that have worked in emergency rooms and ambulances and all that sort of thing could tell you some wild stories. I'm sure people here tonight that read the Weekly World News could tell you some wild stories. But you know, there's the body, and there's the soul, and there's the spirit, and it sure looks like in cases like the one we read about in 1 Kings that sometimes, man, that soul just sticks around and stays close for a while. And then slips back into that body. I'm not going to get into all this voodoo business, but I got the Bible here. I've got this woman in Genesis we read about tonight, and she's speaking as her soul is departing. Kind of a strange thing, wouldn't it? You've all read or heard accounts about somebody and they say, well, all the vital signs are gone. They're you know, they're flat line, they're this and that, and it looks like they're dead. And then suddenly that person will sit up and speak or say something or rise up, I'm going to get you, and back down or whatever the case might be. And, you know, you just... There's no point in rejecting the Bible because of some wild story somebody heard. But it's kind of interesting and fun to take those stories and go to the Bible with them and say, well, okay, I don't have any problem with the soul and spirit in the shape of the body doing something, and as life is departing from that body. And as I said, and as we look at, Jesus was mighty busy for 3 days. While his body was laid in the grave. Didn't we read this morning in 2 Corinthians 5 that you are going to be both absent from the body and present with the Lord? Isn't that what the Bible says? Well, what are you going to be? Just a bunch of sheets floating around up there in heaven, or do you think you're going to be there? Come on, Ted. Come on, let's think a little bit. Let's just try in our minds to grasp what God's talking about here. If I drop dead tonight, I am going to be absent from the body. My body's here. I'm somewhere else. Where am I going to be? Don't answer that. I know. I'm going to be with the Lord. Okay? I'm going to be present with the Lord. I fully expect to be present with the Lord in a recognizable form and fashion. Isn't that what you expect? Isn't that what you've always anticipated? Well, look, all the world does is take that truth and twist it around and pervert it. They got these ghosts running around, these spirits running around. Why? Because, you know, you didn't burn the candle in your pumpkin with the teeth and he's got nowhere to go. And no, you got somewhere to go. You're going to go to hell or you're going to go to heaven. You're just not taking this body with you yet. But eventually you will. All right, where are we going? I mean right now. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 and Isaiah 57. So I think, I'm different than most people, I guess. I think all that mythology out there, I think that all has some basis in truth. It's just been twisted by man and the devil because they didn't take some peculiar experience and run it back to the Word of God. They interpreted it in light of their own understanding or their own imagination. I don't have any problem at all reading the histories of the people scattered out this globe when they talk about men with superhuman powers and giants and gods and all that. I find them in the Bible. I don't have any problem with that. Brother Mike was asking me before service today. He said, "You think there are dinosaurs?" Well, sure, they're dinosaurs, man. I don't have any problem with that. Men were living 700, 800, 900 years before the flood. Reptiles grow as long as they're alive. Man, you got an alligator living 700 years. He's gonna be bigger than anything they got at Gatorland. That's right. How big would a lizard get in 800 years of eating bugs? I mean, I don't have a problem. Big. I don't have a problem with all that stuff. It's just that you want to take it back to the Bible. You don't want to stand it over here by itself and try and interpret it without the Word of God. Run everything to the Bible. Run to the Bible. Run to the Bible. Run to the Bible. All right, Hebrews 4. Soul and spirit, not the same. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, look at this, of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay? So, this Word of God can place a divide between your soul and your spirit. They can't be the same thing. They're different. God divides them and defines them as being different. Isaiah 57 and verse 16. Isaiah 57, verse 16. I hope that this morning and tonight I'm raising a lot of questions in your mind. So that's good. That's good. Thank God for John 3:16, but there's more in the Bible than that. Isaiah 57 and verse 16. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. Okay? So spirit and soul are not the same. Soul and body are not the same. Spirit and body are not the same. All right. Come to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And verse 18. This is Solomon. He said, "Well, Ecclesiastes just such a downer of a book." Well, man, the guy had 300 wives and 700 concubines. The guy had everything money could buy and then some. See, we got this idea, if I had more things, I'd be happier. This man, the more things he got, the more unhappy he became. Ecclesiastes 3:18 says, "I said in my heart concerning the estates of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts." Now that's what Solomon said, but that's not so. That's what he's looking under the sun. He's looking, as far as I can see, man's just like a beast. Well, he's not seeing souls, he's seeing bodies. He says in 19, "For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as one dieth, so dieth the other. They have all one breath, so that man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all his vanity." That's not true either. You've never seen a deer yet put shells in his shotgun and fire back. You've never seen a hamster yet say, "I am not getting in that wheel. I've run around that thing the last time." Does not man have preeminence above a beast? Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 2, Genesis chapter 9, Genesis chapter 1. Well, sure he does. But Solomon just looked at things as far as this life goes. He said, "Man, I don't see where I'm any better off than a porpoise. I may as well just be in a zoo." And then he says in verse number 20, "All go to unto one place. All are of the dust. And all turn to dust again." That'd be a reference to what? The body, right? Now, my body is going the same route as the body of a beast. It's going to return to the dust. Verse 21, "Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward? And the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth. Wherefore I perceive there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him?" This is the man we talked about this morning. He's got no hope beyond this life. All he's looking at is this life. And he says, "My body is going in the dust. My spirit's going back up to God. What's the use in worrying about the future? Let me get some more stuff right now and try to enjoy life." When Jesus stepped on the scene, he said in Matthew 12 and 42, 48, somewhere in there, I think it's 48, he said, "A greater than Solomon is here." And I'm telling you, Solomon, if you gained the whole world and lost your own, what? Soul. There's no reference to the soul in Ecclesiastes 3. You got a body, an animal's got a body. You got a spirit, an animal's got a spirit. If that's all you got, then get all the girls you can, get all the money you can, get all the almond trees you can, get all the musicians that you can, just get all you can, because you're going to die. You may as well get it now. You may as well get it while you can. You may as well get all you can get your hands on. But Jesus came on the scene. He said, "Solomon didn't tell you got a soul. And if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, or what if you're of them that believe to the saving of the soul?" That's what it's about. Is your soul saved? Is your soul saved? Is your soul saved? There's places in that Bible where somebody's trying to save their body. And we all do that. There's places in that Bible where somebody's trying to retain the spirit. They want to live a little bit longer. But if you live 400 years and then go to hell, you lose. Live 700 years and your soul wasn't saved, you lose. And if you're here tonight and you're 11 years old and you don't make it home and your soul's saved, you win. So they're not the same. My body. It's not my spirit. I could do all kinds of contortions and motions and facial expressions with my body, and if you didn't have a spirit of a man in you, you wouldn't get any of it. So I got a spirit. Without that body, if you didn't have eyes, if you didn't have brain, that spirit wouldn't do any good if you didn't have something for that spirit to operate within, function within. Man, when that spirit goes back to God and that body goes in the grave, there you are, and where are you? Will you be looking up from the fire at your funeral or looking down from heaven at your funeral? You're not going to be there. I'm going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. That rich man, he was absent from the body, present in hell. But you're going to be somewhere. Question where you're going to be. All right, we're making our way through the introduction. We can't really talk about heaven and hell till we're to get some understanding of who we are and so forth. Next time, God willing, I'm going to talk about just what it is that Jesus made atonement for and established the fact of life after death. So we'll keep moving on along these lines and trust and hope that God will bless. Amen.